The 9 Years Podcast.
We are just 5 sleeps away from our League 2 playoff final meeting with Plymouth Argyle, and you're listening to the first daily update, counting down to our Wembley visit, courtesy of the 9 Years Podcast team, exclusively on 9yrspodcast.org. Today is Wednesday, May the 25th. My name is Nick Draper, and between myself and my co-host Stuart Deakins, we'll be rounding up all the latest news and rumours ahead of the big day, which today includes a 9 Years Podcast exclusive, as well as reflecting on previous Wembley and playoff final appearances.
Today, I'm joined by my dad, one Mr. Mark Robert Draper, to discuss his memories of watching us lift the FA Amateur Cup at Wembley in 1963. But before we begin, I think it's fair to say that my father is of a certain vintage. His grey matter isn't working as proficiently as perhaps it should. So before we talk about Roy Law and Eddie Reynolds and all that, I do have a few questions just to make sure everything's still working upstairs, if you know what I mean. That sound all right?
I'm just thinking you're very, very rude. And
I get that a lot. Question one, then. Who is the Prime Minister?
David Cameron.
There you go. One for one. In what year did World War II begin?
1939.
Very good. And finally, who are the bigger club? Watford or Luton?
Watford.
Well, okay, well, cancel the interview. That's ruined. All our Wembley build-up has been ruined straight away. Will Nightingale, if you're listening, look, what an idiot. Who would say Watford in answer to that question? Anyway, never mind. Right, 1963, FA Amateur Cup final at Wembley. We beat Sutton United 4-2. Eddie Reynolds famously scoring all 4 goals.
All 4 goals with his head.
With his head. You'd have been, what, 15 or 16 at the time?
Something like that.
A regular watcher of Fulham at Craven Cottage.
Yes, by that time.
So what took you to Wembley that day to watch Wimbledon and Sutton?
Because I was at Wimbledon College, and a lot of us and friends used to watch Wimbledon on a regular basis at Plough Lane. And once we got to Wembley, there was nothing else for it but to go, especially as all the other half of the school all supported Sutton.
Yeah, see, this is my recollection of you telling me this before. I thought it was rival schools. It wasn't, was it? It was everyone at the same school, but you either picked Wimbledon or Sutton.
Because most of the people either came from more or less the Wimbledon area or down more towards Sutton. And there was a complete split down the middle.
Fair
enough. Except that my older brother decided to support Sutton because that's where his mates were.
Where does your older brother live?
Where does he live now?
Yeah.
Well, it's a place in Buckinghamshire, but yeah. I'm not prepared to say the name of the place.
Less said about your older brother.
New Bradwell, I think, is the village.
Yeah, well, I don't know my geography around that area. I wouldn't have a clue. Right, so when you went to Wembley that day, whereabouts were you in the stadium then, the old Wembley? Can you relate it to what it's like now?
We were on the same side as the dugouts, but we were along to the left. So it's the east end,
right?
On the same side as the celebrities, not the celebrities.
The prawn sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's not where we'll be this time, then?
No.
No, that's where the Plymouth fans will be.
Yes.
In the geography of the stadium, the new stadium, whatever. Okay.
Effectively, we were sitting on the side that looks towards the television cameras.
Yeah, opposite the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are your memories, then, of the game itself? Do you remember much about it? I know you don't remember much in general, as a general rule, but
it's always difficult to remember what happened when you the first time you've done things. It was my first trip to Wembley.
Oh, really? Okay, I never knew that.
And it was, it was one of those things, it was such an excitement. The main thing I remember is that it's coming towards the end of the game when it was 2-2 and it came to 20-5 and we all thought the game was going to finish because in those days matches only had 10 minutes for half time. Mm-hmm. So the normal time for half time to finish was 20-5.
Means full time.
Sorry, yes. What we hadn't realised was that half-time was 15 minutes at Wembley, because
right,
it was such a long walk for all the players to get off the pitch into the tunnel at the end. And it was in that last 5 minutes that Eddie Reynolds scored his last 2 goals. And they scored them at the end I was at as well. So they scored them at the opposite end to where we're going to be winning on Monday.
All right, fair enough. So do you remember much about the goals themselves, or just remember the fact they were scored there?
I remember they were all there. They were all with the head.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk you through any of them. But then I can't talk you through any of the goals that we scored now.
No, you can't, to be fair. You can't talk me through last week. What were the goals? Do you remember the goal nets? Were they the same, the old sort of classic Wembley goal nets back then?
Well, they were square things with string that was knotted together.
Yeah, with net. Yeah, great, brilliant. Okay. But do you know what I mean? The old classic traditional Wembley nets before they changed them for like Euro 96.
I couldn't tell you.
Fair enough. Okay. What were your other memories of Wimbledon at the time then, around that time? You went to Plough Lane to watch them in the Southern League?
We were in the Isthmian League at the time.
Okay.
Because we were still all amateurs.
Of course, okay.
And a lot of the players used to play for England in the amateur internationals. It was a much better time then. There was more opportunities for people, I think.
How do you mean opportunities for people?
Well, I mean, people at Ryman League level now don't have much opportunity to advance themselves in another sphere. In terms of football, that is.
You mean in terms of progressing to like an international level?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, because I mean, obviously, we had sort of the internationals when we were a non-league team recently. We had the England C internationals that had the same, that managed to get there. But I suppose that wasn't until we were in sort of the top tier of non-league.
That's right.
Seb Browns and Stephen Gregory's and
that. And in those days, what with the Isthmian League, the Athenian League, the Northern League, I can't remember what they all were now. Mm. But there's all these silly Latin names: Isthmian, Spartan, Athenian, Hellenic League. I think the Spartan and the Hellenic League still go.
Yeah, I think they do if you look through the back pages of the league paper and all those tiny little leagues. Now they have ridiculous names for leagues like League Two for the Fourth Division and Championship, which doesn't mean anything.
And as for the National League,
that's another thing. It's not even called the National League, it's Vanarama Conference.
No, it's not the conference.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the National League.
See, I've still got enough grey matter to know that it's the National and it's not the conference.
That's because I don't bother with non-league anymore. We're out of it. Don't worry. Don't care. Right. Plough Lane then, when you used to go watch games at Plough Lane, whereabouts would you have been standing at that time, or sitting? Would you have been on the West Bank?
I wouldn't have been sitting, I would have been on the bank nearest Plough Lane.
Yeah, okay, cool. And any particular memories of Plough Lane itself? Not obviously, probably more sparsely populated than it would have been.
Ramshackle.
Yeah, and as I say, sort
and
of
pylons at the far end that just seemed to be silly.
Yeah. And not packed to the rafters like it was when they got up to the First Division.
No.
Probably similar to like Craven Cottage when Fulham were in like Division 4.
Strangely, the biggest crowd I can remember from that time was actually at Kingstonian, which I shudder to admit to watching, but I lived halfway between Wimbledon and Kingston. And Kingstonian had a ground on Richmond Road. And I can remember times there when you actually physically couldn't get into the ground, because they used to have the London Senior Cup, I think it was called, and all the league reserve teams came and played in that cup.
So like all the First Division clubs' reserve teams, you mean?
That's right.
So like Tottenham's and Arsenal's and people like that.
Fulham, Chelsea, West Ham, Tottenham.
Talk about many of those clubs. So we had Terry Brown, like I was saying, we had Terry Brown the other day talking about players not getting enough exposure to proper football. I guess back in those days, those were the sort of Liverpool, Arsenal reserves that he was talking about.
Yes.
So you get to see them. Well, there you go. Thinking about current day then, we are looking ahead to the Plymouth game on Monday. We're expecting something in the region of about 20,000 Wimbledon fans, roughly. I think we've just sold shy of that at the time of recording. You bought your tickets very early, I think on the first day.
Yes.
On sale. You got them, but you weren't very pleased with your options available. Where are your tickets? What block are you in?
142.
142. What was your complaint with the booking of your seats?
Because when the email came out, or the message on the website, we were told if you don't get them straight away, you can't get a reserved seat, the seat you want, and you could end up anywhere. But the only blocks they released were very, very few. So if you want to sit down, and because I've got a problem with my back, I can't stand up through the whole game, I wanted a seat, and which meant I had to go and sit in the corner.
What's happened since then, as I say, is a lot more tickets have become available, as we expected. And as I said to you, I'm assuming it's because Wembley wanted to make sure that the demand was there before they opened up more blocks, so they didn't have to employ as many staff, what have you, depending on ticket sales.
And they wanted the people to be in the area that's going to be first seen on televisions.
Which makes
fill up the television
it
seats.
It makes a lot of sense, to be fair.
But looking at it, the way it was done, there seemed to be a block between the ones that were allocated, opened up, and the next, or the block that would have all the corporate seats in normally. So it was almost as if there was going to be an empty block there, made it look stupid.
So you almost feel being a priority with your season ticket, Donstrass membership, whatever.
It didn't make any difference.
No, you've not benefited it.
No.
No. Okay. On that theme, it appears time of recording again that only £50 tickets, I'm talking about adult prices here, are on sale to Wimbledon fans. Plymouth have the option of purchasing cheaper £26 tickets, as they've got tickets in the upper tier. I understand the supply and demand nature of it, like we just said about opening extra blocks and things like that. Doesn't seem quite fair. However, Plymouth are selling tickets directly from their ticket office at Home Park, their home stadium. So we're possibly putting two and two together here and coming up with five, but is it possible that we'll do the same thing at our pop-up shop, which is opening in Wimbledon tomorrow, on Thursday? We've got a ground floor unit in Centre Court. We believe it's going to be in the old Build-A-Bear workshop on the same side as like Superdrug and Thornton's, although other pharmacies and chocolatiers are available. Said shop could potentially have tickets available. We don't know this. This is a purely rumour-mongering on our part. The shop is definitely open, though, from Thursday through to Sunday. Opening hours not yet been confirmed at the time of recording. Check out our Twitter and Facebook pages for info at 9YRS podcast. Or keep checking out the website that you're listening to this through now, 9YRSpodcast.org. Loads of playoff merchandise and hopefully some other bits and pieces available there. So it's a great shout from the club to generate a bit more interest in our hometown. Keep that presence of ours going in the town at the moment. But now for some exciting news. We do have a 9YRS podcast exclusive.
Don't know why I said 9YRS podcast there. It's the 9 Years podcast, but never mind. We have news about somebody making an appearance at Wembley on Bank Holiday Monday. A relative of ours, my elder brother, your son, your eldest son, your second favourite son, Chris, will be Hayden the Womble's official minder at Wembley Stadium.
This mean he gets on the pitch?
Yes.
So, let me get this right. We'll walk out of Wembley, sea of yellow and blue, right? Raucous atmosphere. Teams are being led out. They're lining up on the pitch, facing the Royal Box, with a big, hairy, big-nosed oaf who can barely stand up, dressed in an oversized shirt, standing there right next to Hayden the Womble. But good luck, Chris, anyway. Enjoy the day, and I'm sure we might even get some exclusives coming from the bowels of Wembley. Also on all of our social media sites. Speaking of which, if you don't already, please follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Search for 9YIS Podcast. Our listener numbers for our last podcast absolutely dwarfs the number of followers we have on all those sites. So we know you're out there, so please give us a follow. And also continue to check our new website, 9YISpodcast.org. Another daily update will be uploaded tomorrow, which of course is the same day as the latest edition of the show appears on iTunes and YouTube. This week, Stu and I spoke to a number of ex-Wimbledon heroes involved in playoff games of the past, so we'll be broadcasting full and frank interviews with Terry Brown, Mark DiBolla, Dave Anderson, John Main and Danny Kedwell, all of whom offer us some very interesting insights and a few exclusives too. We have put already some teasers on the site. They don't scratch the surface of what we spoke about, so remember to listen to that from about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then on Sunday, we have some special guests lined up for a special bonus edition of the podcast, previewing the game in full. So remember to keep checking our various media outlets for updates when that show is available. Before we go, season ticket holder now. You left Fulham many years ago, gave up that allegiance. Season ticket holder at AFC Wimbledon for over 10 years now, but you've been attending since the first season. Any particular favourite players over the course of the history of AFC Wimbledon? Except for Michael Roots. Your favourite story of all, of the player who played once for us, scored and then never appeared again?
Well, I think it's part of Wimbledon's folklore and history.
It is. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm sure there are people that have played a more significant role.
Well, there's all sorts of people that you remember. Darren Dobinson, for instance.
Of course. How can you forget Darren Dobinson? I wonder where he is now.
He's still at Rains Park Vale, isn't he?
Probably. Any others?
Eddie Reynolds.
Okay, yeah.
I always had a very great liking for John Martin.
Who was
and
John
Brian.
Martin?
John and Brian, the two brothers.
Yeah. What positions did they play?
Left back and left wing.
Okay. And why did you take to them particularly?
I don't know.
Well, that's your answer to most things at the moment.
Roy Law was an absolute colossus in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bobby Ardrey was another maestro on the pitch.
Had some names.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bobby Ardrey changed his name later and became took his surname to Ardley, of course.
There you go. Funny. I wonder whatever happened to that. Or him. Of the current squad?
Of the current squad, Bayo, I think, is perhaps one of the favourites, and Jake Reeves.
Yeah.
And I have to say word for Ryan Sweeney and
of course.
Will Nightingale and David Fitzpatrick.
Of course, explain why.
What you didn't say was, with the family going on the pitch at Wembley, I actually went on the pitch at the Etihad.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
When Ryan Sweeney played mm-hmm. and won the English under-14s, under-15s championship with his school.
The school of which you were chairman of the governors of.
Absolutely.
At the time and continues to do so. And that was how long was that game played at the City of Manchester Stadium before the playoff final?
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. So you were up there twice in the space of...
I was up there twice in the space of 10 days. But the first time I was there, I had one of those very plush, comfortable seats in the director's box to watch the game from.
Yeah, but...
And the second time, it was a real seat.
Yeah, it's a proper seat, which was pretty much in line with where the ball ended up when kids...
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, we were quite near the front for that one. What a great memory that was. Right, that brings us to the end of this daily update. Join us again tomorrow, as I say. Podcast tomorrow as well. It is such a busy time for the club and for us. Try not to get too excited over the coming days. Get some sleep, and we'll see you again twice tomorrow.